What difference does it make?
Well, what about hopiosapiens and homeosapiens and heliosapiens and... What about this guy that a hole in his jawbone is the nerve of the human being going through that the ape doesn't have? What difference does it make? What about the 10,000-year-old man? I don't care if he's 10 million years old. God never said, let us create man. Never once said it. Nobody's ever found Adam's bones. Nobody's ever found proto-Adam. Proto-Adam is the one who preceded. A proto-Malaysian is the antecedent race from which the Malaysians come from. Nobody's ever found proto-Adam. Nobody's even said they did. Well, how about this old guy digging around in that trench in Africa? He found an elbow. So what? Man is an English word. God never said, let us create man. Never once said that. Well, King James is good enough for God, it's good enough for me. What the Bible says is, let us create Adam. One of a kind. You mean you think that man might have evolved over the years? Man might have, but Adam didn't. Well, don't we call the descendants of Adam man? Yeah, we do. Well, don't you call, if you have other people whose elbows dug up 10 million year old man, generically we are saying that Adam's somehow related to that fellow. That's right. Both come from the same elements, probably in part, as Jesus is related to us, but Adam was different. What makes Jesus different than us? A deposit of God's own nature in that tent of human flesh called Jesus. That's what the image of God in us is. His was just a more effective deposit. Adam's unique. The Bible deals with the history of Adam's race. Now, did that race get contaminated? Sure did. And I'm capable of swearing, as most of you know. Well, not swearing. I don't swear, I cuss. Now, swearing's is doing something Jesus told you not to do. I won't even do that in the courtroom. I cuss once in a while. I think God does too. I know He does. I mean, I've read very few novels and books that the hero cusses as much as God does. I mean, he's cussing all the time. Just cuss, cuss, cuss. Did you ever read it? He curses Tyre. He curses Zidon. He curses the Assyrians. He just cuss, cuss, cuss. God's cussing. This whole book's got God cussing. The hero cusses. I cuss too. But I wasn't cussing then. They sure as hell did get contaminated. Some fallen angels become demons, mated with them, messing up the bloodline of Adam. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that what it says, or is it? When I read 4th chapter of Genesis, what kind of creatures did they produce? Something strange. Part eternal demon, part man. They became mighty men. Became mighty. Not the fourth chapter, sixth chapter. They became mighty. Men of renown. You know something? That fourth verse. There were giants in the earth in those days. I'm in the sixth chapter of Genesis. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children. You notice the word children's in italics? It doesn't say what they bore, does it? It says what they became. Adam's race altered. And what they produced became so evil that God decided to destroy them. Right? And they have an eternal side to them. Adam and Eve were prevented from partaking of the tree of life. Right? These people had an eternal side. They are waiting for hell that God prepared for the devil and his angels. And how do I say this delicately? They planted some of their terrible seed and produced a hybrid. Now, what's the destiny of that hybrid? Half man, half demon. Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, a great mystery. God bent down low with the intent to help fallen man. He never did it for fallen angels. What about these poor creatures, half and half? And their blood being so commingled that you may end up with quarter and three quarters, an eighth and seven eighths, as this strange line perpetuates. And parenthetically, the blood of Noah was pure. His wife's blood's pure. Otherwise, the blessing on Shem would not have been given. Is there a possibility that one of those wives, maybe the wife of Ham, had some of these genes and chromosomes? I'm just putting that in parenthetically. Is that why it is the descendants of Ham that are cursed? Now, let me tell you straight off the bat, I know racists. And I don't think so. In fact, I'm going to go even further than that and say, I'm going to blow that theory to kingdom come. God's not that stupid. He knew, and he wasn't going to preserve one of those daughters. And that has become a basis of one of the most abominable racist views. That shows how far people will go on this subject. God spared one family. But there's another question. Where did some of these other people come from? The giants of Anak, for example. Now, the Jews deal with it by saying one old giant, Og, he hung onto the ark and survived the flood. Some Jews say that. I believe that's as fanciful as the idea that there was some bad blood in some of the wives. And it's not only some Christian racists that have had that idea. There have been some in the Hebrew stream that have done it. They justify their doctrine by saying that Ham's the only guy that played around on the ark. Some real strange doctrines that you've got to steer your way through when you get on this subject, which is why most people stay off the subject. I tread where angels fear to tread. What happened to these hybrids? I'm going to jump the gun on you and tell you. I really believe that demon possession that we have to deal with, and the reality of that legion that was in that demoniac boy of the Gadarenes, are these formless spirits set free from their hybrid body by the flood, wandering the earth, waiting for the day of their final doom and destination, and their only form that they can work through is an alter ego form that they must take possession of. I'm going to make some people so angry when I say this that they'll be mad at me for the rest of their life. I've been asked thousands of times, what about reincarnation? Like parapsychology, I am driven by facts. I no longer doubt that extrasensory perception occurs. Colgate and other universities have proven beyond any question it occurs. The question is how. I am totally convinced that the evidence for reincarnation is past the point of saying it does. The evidence doesn't exist. It does. The evidence for reincarnation is there. Yet the Bible, for human souls, says no. If there's any one thing the Bible teaches, it teaches non-reincarnation and one trip for the human soul. Set before you way of life, way of death. Individuality of the human soul that is destined one of two places. I give you text by the dozens, not philosophic, inductive type evidentiary text, simple, straightforward text like the souls that are under the altar that must wait in the book of Revelation until other martyrs join them. No reincarnation. Existential oneness of identity. A soul, I don't know what it is. Adam was created and God breathed. Ruach is the word in the Hebrew, and he became a living soul. Fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It doesn't wander through the countless centuries of time in ever repeating incarnations. I respect that. I understand the theory of karma. I understand the wheel of life in Oriental religions. I understand their search for nirvana, where you escape from the force of karma and you live out the life karma that's built up. And because of the enlightenment, nirvana, the trance-like state, the loss of identity with self in Buddhism or the roots in Vedanta faith, you escape that wheel of life into oneness with the that which is behind all that, that's not even given a name for fear you somehow distort it by differentiating it. I respect the religions that believe it because the evidence is there. The Bible's anti-reincarnation. Now, I'll be challenged on this, but that's all right. The Bible teaches individuality. You got this strip here, and that's it, my friend. Your eternal destiny is fixed one way or the other, right here. Old George Patton may think he fought in all those battles. Some of the most respected people in the world believe in reincarnation. Why? Because of the evidence. Evidence is there. No question about it. Now, if the Bible says the destiny of the human soul is not reincarnation, what are we going to do with all this evidence? Somebody else is going from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation, who has those memory traces. Somebody else was around when Nero was consorting with some broad. May have been using the body of Nero's broad. Somebody else was around. When they were working on a pyramid. And remember some of the details of a priest in that day. He was in that priest. You see, once the demons were cast out of that boy of the Gadarenes, there were so many of them in him, they just drove him crazy. He was still himself. He, without the demons in him, he cleaned up and was an outstanding citizen in the Gadarene territory. Now, the first one Jesus ran into was worshiping in the synagogue. Apparently, the demon in him wasn't giving him too much trouble. He didn't even have to scratch his itches. He worshiped like everybody else. I've seen all kinds of them in synagogues. I mean, no, really, I haven't. That's not true. I haven't seen them in synagogues. I've seen them in the Christian replacement of synagogues, churches. I've seen a lot of demons in churches worshiping God. I mean, they're really going at it. You know that? You see, I believe. Hey, I got a right to an opinion. I always distinguish between my opinions and facts. I don't have any proof of this. I just have a Bible that rejects reincarnation and evidence that supports it. And what's the connecting link? This other bunch of half-breeds that lost their bodies in the flood. What are you going to do with them? I mean, they're not like human beings that are in their destined place, some abode, paradise or whatever in between, where Jesus went and talked to them. They have only one destiny. God's not going to stoop down and help them. They're a strange hybrid product of an illicit union. They got a form that's not going to be resurrected. Or if it is, maybe it is going to be. Maybe that's the form they're going to have throughout hell. But in the meantime, that eternal demon product side of that hybrid unit running loose without a form, looking for one. You see, I've always tried to figure out how the electrons and protons, neutrons and substantial elements. See, I don't believe some things people believe about the devil. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's got form. Jesus saw him fall. He's not unlimited in his capacities, take any shape he wants. He's not going to be a watermelon today and a snake tomorrow and an elephant the day after tomorrow. And he doesn't have a tail. He isn't red and he doesn't have a fork, pitchfork and doesn't have horns. He's what he is. He never has lost his shape. Nowhere at any time. He wrestled with Michael, over the body of Moses. But these hybrid creatures, they are not like the ones who left the first estate. They're a new creation. What are you going to do with them? They're hunting bodies. They're running loose. The ones that aren't chained somewhere or... That's why they didn't want to be sent to that pit for their time. They're still running loose. They survived the flood. The body didn't. Their strange hybrid form didn't. They did. You look at me like a bunch of glassy-eyed lobsters. They got to find a body to occupy. That explains demon possession to me. For the life of me, I can't see what in the world a demon wants to give up that glorious body that he had Now, what if some of those that went in the pit were just put there by God? There's strange creatures in that pit. But these that are running loose are bodiless. They got to have a form. And when I've said before, there ain't no way. There ain't no way I would have ever caught a fish out of the Sea of Galilee after that happening. You couldn't have paid me enough money to swim in that lake. Doesn't that make sense? My Lord, I'd rather go swimming with a piranha than swim in that lake after those pigs ran in it. I mean, they got permission to go in the pigs. Where'd they go when the pigs drowned? What's this got to do with Edgar Cayce? Am I boring you? You see, Edgar Cayce saw visions. Boy, a lot of things he's seen came true. You say you think he was a godly man? Well, he was a good Sunday school teacher, I'll tell you that. I know he loved God. And all of his revelations came while he was in his sleep. I mean, this guy is the most... I've heard of people talking in their sleep. But nobody like Edgar Cayce. Man, he talked in his sleep and said things that boggle the mind. He didn't know anything about what he talked about usually. And he talks about Atlantis and he talks about this earth 50,000 years ago. He talks about Atlantis going through three phases of destruction. Now, what's Atlantis? That great civilization so advanced it was the greatest civilization, as the Solon from Egypt told Plato, ever happened, ever existed. And all of a sudden, in one terrible day, it disappeared. But a lot of people who read Plato forget that that same Solon says there have been several destructions. Now, Edgar Cayce saw Atlantis go through three phases of destruction. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I believe the Garden of Eden was on Atlantis. Just, you know, I won't dangle you. I believe the Garden of Eden was on Atlantis. I'm going to tell you straight going out the gate, I believe Atlantis existed. I'm going to tell you straight going out the gate that if it wasn't destroyed earlier, and I don't believe it was, it was destroyed in the flood. But Cayce saw three destructions. Now that makes sense to me. If Eden was Atlantis, my Bible tells me that Satan was in Eden before he fell. And when we encounter him in Genesis 1, he's in Eden after he fell. And I believe Atlantis was the mountain of God, and I believe that that's how the sons of God came down. I believe that on Atlantis was a great mountain that's the source of all that worship in every primitive tribe and every primitive religion of the mountain of God that transposes to Olympus and legitimately will be redone as Mount Zion, why Zion is so important in Scripture. And that that mountain went through this firmament. Would explain why the doggone people think that that fellow who came down and told them all this thing about those stars came from the land of the fishes. I mean, when you go through water to get somewhere, you're in the land of the fishes, aren't you? Kind of slow. You know, you're getting tired. You want me to teach, and then when I do it, you go dead on me. Got a bunch of dead heads and dead butts sitting here. Edgar Cayce saw ...50,000 years, three separate calamities hit Atlantis. The mountain was destroyed first. The third phase, Atlantis, was primarily a bunch of islands, and then it was destroyed. Now we got to answer another question. Was the flood universal? Is there a slight possibility that some mankind and some animals survived? Now, Christians don't believe in evolution. That's in quotes. I think it doesn't necessarily have to be an issue. But have you ever sat down and figured out the dimensions of the ark? Just do it sometime. Now that you know what the sacred cubit is, you can figure it out. Sacred cubit's 25 pyramid inches. And you know how long the pyramid inch is? It's a half a hair longer than the British inch. So take the hair off your head and cut it in half. And lay it down alongside the British inch. And that's your pyramid inch. And sacred cubit's 25 of them. It's the club that guy used to beat on his wife last night. And the inch is the splinter. Now you figure out how big the ark is. Now put Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. That's eight. Now they got to have a commode. They got to have provisions, food in store for them. So build your cupboards. And put elephants and alligators and crocodiles and black widow spiders, asps, pythons, water moccasins, diamondback rattlesnakes. The lions, polar bears, they're mean critters, by the way, you know that? Polar bears, and two of each. Rabbits. And you say when they come in, we only got so much space here, kids. Let's play Noah tonight. Hippos, Bengal tigers, leopards, rats, snails. Escargots. Or should I say escargots? Or escargots, for my English teachers out there. Fleas. Coons. Raccoons. Possums. Dogs. Cats. Weasels, badgers, platypuses, kangaroos, ostrich, deer, reindeer, elk, grizzly bear, pheasants, quail, dove, chickens, turkeys, beaver, beavers. Rhinoceros, giraffe, what the holes in the roof are for. Owls, eagles, vultures. Horses. Jackasses. Gorillas. Ants. Ladybugs. Beetles. Worms. How else could you fish? Worms. Centipedes. Robins. Sparrows. See if you're trying to help me up there. Monkeys. Bamboos. Chimpanzees. Koala bears. What's those? There's a hard to mate. Pandas. My Lord, what if we'd lost one? Now, Japheth, you be bet. And Shem, you clean the floors. Lice. Cobras. Gila monsters. Coyotes. Bighorn ram. Mooses. Ticks. Seed ticks. Chiggers. You bored?
No.
Nice to be on the satellite, you know. I don't have to worry about the clock. We can just keep going. Chiggers. Ground squirrels. Groundhogs. Porcupines. Skunks. Can you imagine what it'd be like if a couple of skunks got aggravated on that trip? Now, I could go on and on. You know, let's just stop and think for a minute. You know, the book of Jasher helps us understand some of the problems they had with those animals on that boat. The book of Jasher helps us understand how he got them in that boat. I'm telling you, my friend, there ain't enough space in the ark for two of all the animals. Simple fact. So you're destroying my faith. No, no, I'm going to make it solid. Well, how do we get them all in? Well, man, mutations and evolution in 3,000 years? A grizzly bear mutates into a louse? Well, I don't care. The Apostle Peter said 8 souls. Joshua said the sun stopped. The Bible records people's honest impressions, not necessarily always a scientific truism. We know the sun didn't stop. just looked that way to Joshua. The Bible's recording the way he understood it. Do you have any idea? The Bible's a record of the way it looked. John's got some strange expressions too, the way things look. Ezekiel saw some strange looking things too. He described them the way they looked to him. I believe Peter thought there's only 8 souls. Maybe there were only 8. Maybe that's all there were. God didn't say there were only 8. Say, well, now you're meddling with the Bible. How do you know when God's speaking when He isn't? Well, He makes it pretty clear. Thus saith the Lord. Peter had a lot of strange ideas. Paul had to withstand him to his face. Oh, I know, some poor bibliolatrists are already crying. I'll put my faith in God's Word up against anybody listening to me. Just time we start boring some holes in our head and letting some... Do you really think all those animals, 2 of every kind, was in that ark? Measure it out, friends. I'm just going to leave you right there. I'm going to leave you right there. There's an explanation. I want to introduce you to Edgar Cayce. The 6 books which have been written about him have totaled more than... Unlike most people who teach on Atlantis, I'm starting with Cayce. The 6 books which have been written about him have totaled more than 1 million in sales. Hey, Atlantis would have been the headquarters of the world. By the way, he saw a great exodus from Atlantis down to Egypt. And he saw him put all the knowledge that mankind had into the pyramid. The 6 books which have been written about him have totaled more than 1 million in sales. More than 10 other books have devoted sections to his life and talents. This is written by his son. Well, not really. Under the editorship of his son. More than 10 books have devoted sections to his life and talents. He's been featured in dozens of magazines and newspaper articles from 1900 to the present. Now, am I a Cayce follower? No. I'm not a Nostradamus follower. I just want an explanation of this. What was so unique about him? Depends on your point of view. A number of his contemporaries knew the waking Edgar Cayce as a gifted professional photographer. Big deal. Another group, predominantly children, admired him as a warm and friendly Sunday school teacher. His own family knew him as husband and father. The sleeping Edgar Cayce was an entirely different figure, a psychic known to thousands of people in all walks of life. Many had cause to be grateful for his help. Some of them believed that he alone either saved or changed their lives when all seemed lost. The sleeping Edgar Cayce was a medical diagnostician, a prophet, and a devoted proponent of Bible lore. By the way, I'll say that. In June 1954, the University of Chicago held him in sufficient esteem to accept a PhD thesis based on a study of his life and work. In this thesis, the author referred to him as a religious seer. That same June, the children's comic book, House of Mystery, bestowed on him the impressive title of America's Most Mysterious Man. Even as a child on a farm near Hopkinsville, Kentucky, where he was born on March 18, 1877, Edgar Cayce displayed powers of perception which seemed to extend beyond the normal range of the 5 senses. This book is Edgar Cayce on Atlantis by Edgar Evans Cayce. At the age of 6 or 7, he told his parents he was able to see and talk to visions, sometimes of relatives who had recently died. His parents attributed this to the overactive imagination of a lonely child. Hope I got enough years with most of you to know. Everywhere I go when I finish, God's Word stands stronger. His parents attributed this to the overactive imagination of a lonely child who had been influenced by the dramatic language of the revival meetings, which were popular in that section of the country. Later, by sleeping with his head on his school books, he developed a form of photographic memory which helped him advance rapidly in the country school. Well, don't knock it till you try it. Now, how many of you have tried it? You tried it? Think how dumb you'd be if you hadn't. This faded, however, and Edgar was only able to complete the seventh grade before he had to seek his own place in the world. In 1898, at the age of 21, he became a salesman for a wholesale stationery company. About this time, he developed a gradual paralysis of the throat muscles, which threatened the loss of his voice. When the doctors were unable to find a physical cause for these conditions, hypnosis was tried, but failed to have any permanent effect. As a last resort, Edgar asked a friend to help him re-enter the same kind of hypnotic sleep. That's a little different. Not just sleeping, hypnotic sleep. That had enabled him to memorize his school books as a child. His friend gave him the necessary suggestion, and once he was in self-included trance, Edgar came to grips with his own problem. He recommended medication and manipulative therapy, which successfully restored his voice and cured his throat trouble. Got it in a trance. A group of physicians from Hopkinsville in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hey, this guy, I always get amused when people call me from Virginia Beach. The research center of his readings is in Virginia Beach. And like so many things, people just laugh at it and say, ah, bunch of bunk. They don't know anything. You see, I believe in supernatural things. I don't believe that God's the only person working. Neither do I believe the devil's the only person working. I think there are recessive genes in mankind throw back to Adam's day before fall. Before the fall. Once in a while, in a 10 millionth ratio, they'll crop out.